This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. A review of Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas this week. It was a quick three-night cruise from Port Canaveral down to the Bahamas and back. Kevin and his family took that one and will be here to talk all about it in just a little while. But first, staff writer Richard Sims with Cruise News. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Doug.
So we start off with a story that can only be described as disturbing.
Yeah, that really is the best word for it. A stateroom attendant on Royal Caribbean's Symphony of the Seas has been arrested and faces several charges of voyeurism, as well as one charge of producing pornography. A young passenger on the ship went to reach for a roll of toilet paper in the bathroom in their stateroom and discovered that there was a hidden camera mounted under the sink. The girl and her mom reported the incident, and according to several reports, they were in the hallway outside their stateroom talking to security when the attendant came by the room. The man's name is, his last name is Marisol, and he was immediately fired and arrested when the ship returned to Florida. In a statement, Royal Caribbean obviously made it clear that they have a zero tolerance policy for what they call, you know, this type of, quote, unacceptable behavior. The reason he was charged with producing pornography appears to be that the mother and her daughter reported having used the bathroom several times while the camera was, they discovered later, already active. But this is the kind of story that'll have non-cruisers pointing their fingers and talking about the dangers of cruising. But this goes back to what we talk about a lot on the show, which is that cruise ships are, in essence, floating cities. And just like in any floating city, you're going to have bad people doing bad things. It's not a condemnation of cruising. I guess, if anything, it's a condemnation of the dark side of society. The good news is this person's been captured, and I have to assume that they immediately went and searched all of the rooms on board, certainly the ones that he was in charge of. But, you know, just not the kind of news story you want to be reporting.
And an inaugural sailing of an upcoming ship has been changed.
That's right. Although this time it hasn't actually been canceled, which is what we've been reporting on a lot lately. You know, we just last week we were talking about a ship that was going to be a couple weeks behind schedule, and so they were canceling the inaugural sailing and moving it forward 2 weeks. In this case, Royal Caribbean's Utopia of the Seas was set to have its inaugural sailing on July 22nd of this year, but now add an additional three-day sailing on July 19th. Obviously, people who planned to be on the original sailing probably, you know, they're not particularly pleased. I mean, you book an inaugural because you want to be the first person on a ship. But on the plus side, Royal Caribbean is offering to move them to the exact same stateroom on the new inaugural. You know, yes, you have to change your plans a little bit, but at least it's not at the last minute. It's not happening until July, so you have time to make these plans. Because this new sailing is one day shorter than the next sailing, I guess you'd call it the second inaugural, which is a four-day, because of that difference, people who take the option to transfer to the new sailing will get a refund for that prorated fare. But that's only if they make this very particular switch from the original inaugural to this new three-day inaugural. Otherwise, they can, you know, just opt to remain on what is now, I guess, the second inaugural.
The options aren't that bad. And a story about a cruise line, a cruise port, and a donkey.
Honestly, if I was Daniel Goldston, who is the passenger in question here, I would have thought twice before filing this particular lawsuit. For one thing, I don't see much chance of him winning, but for another, it's going to get you ridiculed. The man and his wife were in Grand Turk Cruise Port when he tried to take a picture of a donkey. The donkey, which, let's not forget, is a wild animal, did what wild animals sometimes will do, and he kicked Goldston in the No, not there. He kicked him in the knee. It required several surgeries. And now, of course, he's suing Carnival for a litany of things, including the cost of the surgeries and lost time and, you know, lost wages and all that, because Carnival owns the cruise port, which a lot of people don't know, but they own that cruise port that they were docked in at the time. And he's suing them for not having proper signs up warning about the danger of approaching wild animals. Now, look, if you're close enough to a donkey that it can kick you in the knee, you're too close. I'm also betting that no amount of signage, there could have been signs everywhere that said these are wild animals and they are potentially dangerous, that would not have stopped this man from going up there and taking a picture, because that's human nature. We disregard warnings like that and we're like, oh, it won't happen to me. And we go and we get the picture that we want. I'll be interested to hear what listeners have to say, you know, hit the comments. But as far as I'm concerned, at the end of the day, pretty sure a jury of his peers would say that Mr. Goldston was, wait for it, making an ass of himself. Get it?
It reminds me of when we went to Yellowstone National Park a couple of years ago, and we were out there hiking, and there are signs everywhere saying, don't touch the wild animals, deer, bison, elk, moose, whatever. And without fail, you have the person trying to get the selfie and either get trampled or damn near killed by these wild animals.
Human nature is to do things that are really stupid. And then when you get injured doing that stupid thing, try and find a way to sue somebody for not warning you not to do the stupid thing that you should have known better than to do in the first place.
And another cruise port has slapped a limitation on cruise ships and passengers.
This case has been going on for several years, and it involves the town of Bar Harbor, Maine. A while back, the town voted to cap the number of cruise passengers at 1,000 per day. But local business owners, many of whom rely on tourism for their survival, protested that this was unconstitutional. Now, the judge, Lance Walker, who I actually kind of sort of think is a distant cousin of mine, has upheld the original vote. We have yet to hear exactly how this will be enforced. Will cruise lines, you know, avoid Bar Harbor? Will they have to only allow, like, let's say it's a ship with 1,500 people on it. Do you pick 1,000 people and say, okay, you guys can go ashore? In 2022, over 270,000 passengers visited. But it's worth noting that that's less than 1/4 of the 4 million tourists who visit Bar Harbor every year. Bar Harbor is very close to a national park, a very famous Arcadia National Park, actually. So it gets a whole lot of tourism traffic. And like I said, only about 270,000 of those are from cruise ships. Ultimately, it seems very likely that we're going to see more and more of this type of case in the years to come. Cruise ships are getting bigger and bigger. Cruise lines are investing in more and more ships. And claims of over-tourism are cropping up all over the world, from Key West to Venice. This definitely won't be the last time we have this conversation. And it may not even be the end of the story for Bar Harbor. I'm sure that there will be more fights back and forth. And we still have to hear exactly how they, you know, end up settling this, with how to decide on this 1,000 people and how to, you know, fairly break it up. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the government steps in, because remember in Key West, we had that where the city, the residents limited ships, but then the government said you can't limit maritime commerce. So it's going to be interesting again. Anyway, a nice treat for some flyers.
Usually when you're flying around the friendly skies, you wind up with delayed flights. It's kind of a running joke between us. Whenever you call me from an airport, I'm like, ah, your flight got delayed. I know it. But 160 passengers who were flying Delta Airlines from Atlanta to San Juan, Puerto Rico, got a whole lot more than that. There they were waiting to take off when Sir Richard Branson popped up on board. Now, for those who don't know, Branson is the gazillionaire who owns a whole lot of stuff, including Virgin Voyages. Anyway, he announced to the passengers on the flight that those over 18 were being given a free cruise on the Resilient Lady. This was, of course, not, you know, it's not like a random event that he just happened to show up and do this. As I said, they were flying to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and that just happens to be the new port where Resilient Lady is going to be sailing out of. So this was obviously an attempt to drum up some publicity. And of course, it worked. I mean, here we are talking about it. But honestly, it was a brilliant move. I mean, for the cost of giving away 160 cruises, he got a whole lot of publicity. and, you know, alerted a whole lot of people that the ship will be sailing out of San Juan. So I think he got a really good deal on this one.
So Princess Cruises has this brand new cruise ship, Sun Princess. It's sailing this week, and there's this promotion happening, which we came across, where they will pay you to rate the casino on their billion-dollar ship. What's the deal here?
$1 billion. That sounds like something out of an Austin Powers movie. $1 billion. But yeah, we're talking about the Sun Princess, which has newly launched and has been getting a lot of attention. And a company called Casino.org is looking for someone to have what they call a dream job. It's actually a giveaway where they are looking for someone to go on board Sun Princess and hang out in the casino and check it out. They're going to give you free flight, you and a guest. They're going to give you free stateroom on the ship. And they're going to give you not only $500 to play in the casino, but also $500 spending money. So they then want you to come back to them and report on the casino. They want, you know, a report about how loose were the slots, how were the slot attendants, what was the atmosphere, what was the whole thing like. It's basically, that's what they do. That's what Casino.org does, obviously, is they're a site that writes a lot about casinos. So they're including pretty much everything in this. Now, it is only one, as far as I can tell, I read the rules very carefully, and it seems to only be one cruise that they are giving away. You have to be over the age of 21, and you have to be a citizen of either the United States, the United Kingdom, or Canada. Also, only one entry per household. Any more than that, and they will just like basically delete all of your entries. We actually have a link on the site in the story to casino.org, or you can just go to casino.org and make sure you read all the rules and regulations and stipulations and all that. But you know, what the heck, you could enter and maybe win a free cruise on the Sun Princess, which would be kind of a good time.
Good luck to you there. So our listener question comes from Mark. He says, I see charter cruises all the time, or I assume they are charter cruises because big groups are renting these ships out. I am curious if you know what these companies pay to rent the ship for a week.
That is such a good question, and I'm not going to lie. It's one that I have often wondered myself. So the first thing to keep in mind is that there are two different kinds of charters. One is a full ship charter, and the other is just, you know, a partial charter where let's say a group is coming on board with, like, for example, the Golden Girls cruise. They might, and I'm just using this as an example, I don't know, but let's say there's a Golden Girls cruise and they want to book 150 rooms. That's a partial charter. But the kind of charter that our listener is asking about is a full ship charter. So we did a little poking around and found, now this is, you know, we don't know exactly how accurate this is, but from what we have found, to rent a Royal Caribbean Oasis class ship for four nights, the basic base price would be about $4.6 million. For a seven-night cruise, it would be about $8 million. And then, you know, it can go more expensive, it can go less expensive. For example, a Voyager class ship, you know, which is a little older than that, you can get one of those for $2.23 million for a four-night sailing, or $3.9, let's call it $4 million if you want to do a seven-night sailing. There are a bunch of other rules that you have to follow too. Like there are very, very strict rules about drinks and drink packages and excursions. You know, you have to book, if you're doing a full ship excursion, you have to use the excursions through the ship. You can't book independently, that kind of thing. So again, you know, this varies from line to line and obviously from ship to ship. And it also might very well depend on the charterer. You know, I mean, this is almost like flipping open the Kelley Blue Book that they used to always use. They used to always say what the Kelley Blue Book price was on, say, a five-year-old car. But if an organization comes to a cruise line looking to do a charter, the cruise line has probably got some leeway there and is going to make the price dependent on a few things. What time of year is it? You know, is this a time of year when it's easy for them to say, okay, we're just going to boot a couple hundred people off here. They'll be sad, but we're going to get a full charter out of it. It also could depend on the organization itself. I would imagine that if a cruise line says, that organization has a whole lot of money. They're going to boost the price up. But we also see government charters. And I've always wondered, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you do or not, Doug. I've always wondered when the government charters a ship, like let's say they charter a ship to house workers who are helping with a disaster for a couple of weeks, do they get a discount? You know, like do they have to go by the same price that would that you know any other group would pay, or do they get a discount? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's the basics. And if you happen to be interested in chartering a ship, that indicates to me that you have a lot of money and I might like to speak to you.
And if you want to check out what an actual contract looks like, what it includes, the binder, how you actually make the payments on these big sailings, I was working with a company back in radio that was going to charter a ship for a music cruise, and I have the contract still here. This is back in 2012, but it's the basic contract. I'll black out the names and upload that to our Patreon at patreon.com/cruiseradio. It'll be there if you want to check it out. All right, staff writer Richard Sims, as always, thank you, my friend. Have a good one.
As always, glad to be here.
Have a question or a comment for the show?
Yeah!
Send an email or voice memo to Doug@cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Just back from a cruise? Let's talk about it. Email Doug@cruiseradio.net.
Kevin and his family just returned from a 3-night cruise aboard Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas down there in Port Canaveral. Went to Nassau in Perfect Day, and he joins us on the line to talk all about it. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Doug. How about you?
Good. Always good to talk to you, buddy. And so I'm excited to talk about this one because we've done these Allure cruise reviews before, but never these little short ones. They've always like the 7 to 9 nighters. So I'm excited to hear how you got this big ship in just a few days here. So we'll get some pre-cruise thoughts as we always do. What made you want to sail this quick little 3-nighter out of Port Canaveral on Allure?
We recently moved down to Florida and thought getting a short weekend cruise would be fun. And it was also over a long weekend. So my son had that following Monday off. So it made sense to have a nice cruise over a 3-day weekend.
You're in the Orlando, Central Florida area, and you head to the cruise port over there at Port Canaveral. Now, I remember speaking last time, I believe you did like a pre-night stay. Did you do the same thing this time?
We did. So since traffic around the area can be always hit or miss, you never know what kind of weather you could get. We headed over to Cape Canaveral, stayed at the Enclave Suites, which is right across the street from the southern part of Port Canaveral, very easy to get in and out of, mm-hmm. and a nice place to stay before boarding the ship the next day.
Then you make your way to board that ship. How was the embarkation process boarding Allure, and how long did it take you to get from the curb onto the cruise ship?
It was really easy. So this one went out of the newer cruise terminal on the south side, so it was a lot easier getting in and out as compared to when we sailed out of the other Royal Caribbean port. The other Royal Caribbean terminal on the north side of the port. Parking, getting in was really easy. The line was really easy to get through. You drop off your luggage and go find a place to park. Really getting from basically when we parked to onboard the ship, maybe 20 minutes at most. The biggest line was really just getting through security right at the first part. From there, smooth sailing through check-in and boarding the ship.
So you make your way on board Allure of the Seas. We've spoke so many times over the years. Have you been on this one before?
Yeah, we sailed on Allure right after the restart. So back in, I think it was November 2021, we did a 6-night on her out of Fort Lauderdale. So we have been on the Allure of the Seas, and so it was nice to be back on board.
Yeah, what were your first impressions walking on board? Obviously, when you went on board and sailed in 2021, you had the masks and the protocols and all that. But with everything aside, what were your impressions this go around?
It was really nice to not have to worry about any of those protocols this time around. the ship looked pretty much the same as it did, you know, a little bit over 2 years ago. Mm. You know, it's a really beautiful ship. They've taken great care of it. I think I've heard it's scheduled to go into amplification. I want to say next year. I think they said 2025 it might go in or something to that effect. But, you know, really, it's pretty well up to date on, you know, most of those things you see on the Royal Caribbean ads.
So there were three of y'all sailing on this one. It was your wife, yourself, and your little one. What kind of room did you book on this 3-night cruise? And what were your thoughts of it throughout the voyage?
So we took a chance and we scheduled a balcony room. This was the first time we actually did a balcony with our little guy, just because of the fact that, you know, it was a short sailing and, you know, we figured we could easily do a balcony before we pretty much always had done some sort of a suite on the ship. You know, we lucked out, if you could say lucking out, I guess, and getting, you know, like handicap accessible room. It was literally the last balcony on the ship when we booked the cruise. So that kind of room is a little bit larger. It's honestly probably about the size of a junior suite, but just has, you know, all of just the regular balcony features. So it wasn't bad at all.
So let's talk about the dining then on this 3-nighter. We'll start at the top at the Windjammer Buffet and kind of go out from there. So how was the Windjammer, the food selection, and like any congestion up there? I know it can get kind of busy on embarkation day.
It sure can. So, to, you know, with it only being a 3-night sailing and 2 port days, we actually barely walked through the Windjammer, surprisingly enough. You know, a really great tip on this ship and a lot of the Oasis class ships is that there's the Park Cafe that's right in the middle of, well, Central Park neighborhood. And, you know, you can grab some great, great food down there. It's all complimentary as well. And so we typically, whenever we sail an Oasis class ship, we often go there for lunch if we can. They have, you know, hot roast beef sandwiches, salads made to order, things like that. And, you know, plenty of reasonable eats down there, like I said, free of charge that most people don't even think of on day one in particular.
Have you ever done Chops Grill on embarkation?
So I've done, we're not necessarily directly on Chops Grill, but in the past I've done the key, I guess you could say, which includes like the Chops menu down in the main dining room. And it is usually a really nice treat to have, but, you know, unfortunately it also does have a nice charge and has the dynamic pricing just like any other, you know, pricing that Royal Caribbean offers. And so it really depends on the sailing of what we're looking for. Usually when traveling with the little guy, you know, having an extra, you know, sit down meal is probably not the best thing. You know, where, you know, having something like the Park Cafe or even the Windjammer, obviously you can eat and go, and it's a lot more of a relaxed environment.
Yeah. Now, before the listeners who may not be familiar with this, how would you explain dynamic pricing to someone who may be considering, you know, sailing a Royal Caribbean cruise?
So if you have a thing such as like, say, an internet package, for instance, you know, you look on like Carnival, for instance, you can find most likely the same price for the internet package, no matter if it's a 3-night sailing, 4-night sailing, 12-night sailing. It's usually the same price per day. Every sailing is the same thing. With Royal Caribbean, that's not the case. So the same item, for instance, like using the internet package as an example, can vary day by day, you know, for the exact same sailing. So what a lot of people recommend, and I would do the same thing, I do the same thing myself, is, you know, if you know you're going to buy it, go ahead and buy it, because now you know you're not going to pay any more than that price. But you can always go back and, you know, look at the price, you know, and cancel at any time up until, I think they shut down pre-cruise sailing purchases, like, well, I think it's like 2 or 3 days before, you know, and you can always cancel and rebook right away, you know. And if you have a credit card, if you use a credit card or onboard credit, you know, that goes back almost right away. I would assume a debit card would probably be similar in nature. I mean, if you need to cancel and rebook, but it's a great way to kind of at least lock in pricing if you need to.
Thanks for explaining that, Kevin. For the main dining room, what time dining did you have and how was your experience in there throughout the 3 nights?
We had early dining, you know, really on Royal Caribbean, it's early or late or my time. You know, we wanted to make sure that we had the same wait staff, just, you know, with traveling with our son, it's nice to kind of get them trained in some aspects. That way they kind of know what to expect and how to bring stuff out. And on the sailing, early dining was, I think it was like 5:15, 5:30, and then late was 8:15, 8:30. And well, you know, our son typically tries to go to bed around 8. So really that kind of leaves us with early dining. You know, the service on this one in particular, honestly, is somewhat disappointing. It was often very, very slow. You know, things came out incorrectly, you know, and the food kind of was hit or miss on whether it was super tasty or not. You know, even on the last night, my wife and I chose to upgrade to some of the premium options since we had some onboard credit left over. And it was kind of disappointing, to be honest with you, which is surprising because I've done that before on a few sailings. And, you know, usually it's really good. They offer, like, you can get filet mignon or, you know, lobster tail, things like that, that aren't typically offered on especially those short three-night sailings in the main dining room. And, you know, not sure it was really worth the price they charged.
Yeah, that's one thing about Royal's food. It's always hit or miss. And it's been like that for, gosh, the 16, 17 years I've been sailing. Okay, so you have made it through the main dining room, the buffet. You talked about Park Cafe. Any other places around the ship?
We didn't hit up the hot dog place, but we definitely hit up the Sorrento's Pizza. It's kind of hard to go on a cruise and, you know, whether it's, you know, any of the cruise lines really and not get their pizza. And, you know, we hit them up a couple times. And, you know, the nice thing about Royal Caribbean is the line's usually very short and they move it pretty darn quickly. And so we hit them a few times and they had really great pizza.
It was a short cruise, but I'm sure there was some entertainment on board. So what did you think of it for the three nights?
Yeah, so we definitely saw some entertainment around the ship, you know, primarily, you know, just more or less passing by. So we had sailed on them before on the same cruise line, or sorry, on the same ship. And the shows don't really rotate around. So we had seen them all, but you know, what we'd seen was really, really good. So they have Mamma Mia, you know, the full, like almost like a full Broadway show, you know, where I think on some of the other ships, they have like the 45-minute version. Well, on this ship in particular, and a lot of the Oasis class ships, they're actually more like an hour and a half or 2 hours with a intermission in between. So they really do go all out. And, you know, that show is really good. And the Aqua show as well is really awesome. One word of advice, I guess, on the Aqua show, because this was experienced on this particular sailing, is that it is very weather dependent. I think they've tried to kind of help that out with the newer Icon of the Seas, but with Allure and so forth, it's because it is literally outside and, you know, these performers are, you know, dangling out there on very, very tedious apparatuses. If the weather's not good, they will cancel the show. And, you know, on the last night of the sailing, we hit some very rough seas. And so the ship was, even though it was a, you know, Royal Caribbean Oasis class ship, it was really rocking. And so the captain even came on and made a special announcement that, you know, they were canceling all outdoor activities, you know, for that night. And so it's really good if you want to see those kinds of shows or even, you know, go ride the carousel, you know, definitely do those early just in case you hit those bad weather days.
And as far as with traveling with the little one, does your little one do the, I don't know what Royal Caribbean's kids program is, but like the TOTS program?
He did not this time around, but he has in the past. I believe it's called Adventure Ocean on Royal Caribbean. The only things we really partake in with them was they did occasionally have like some, you know, kids friendly shows that were kind of in one of their theaters within Adventure Ocean that anyone could attend. And we did that a few times and it was pretty cool. Definitely, you know, he really enjoyed those activities.
How were the sea days as far as crowds and congestion? You know, usually these holiday sailings are quite lively, we'll say.
Well, there were no sea days on this one. So we only had just Nassau and Coco Cay on this one. So unfortunately, no sea days. We missed that for sure. We really do enjoy those sea days.
And if I would have done the math in my head when you told me you went to two ports on a three-day cruise, I would have figured that out too. So, yeah. That one's on me, but we'll talk about the casino then. How was it as far as the cigarette smoke?
Yeah, so with the little guy, we really couldn't walk through the casino too terribly much, but our dining was on deck four, which is where the casino was. And, you know, really couldn't smell the smoke too terribly bad unless you were right next door to the casino. So I felt like they kept it in really well, you know, and even like on deck five on the promenade, there's, I think, a staircase that goes down from there down to the casino. And again, like I said, you really couldn't smell the smoke. So I thought they did a great job containing that. You know, probably the biggest thing was dealing with like cigarette smoke was up on the, you know, I guess the pool deck. There's definitely a big smoking section on that ship. And, you know, it's a long walk if you have to walk through that smoke. There's ways around it.
We'll get to the ports in just a second here, but when you got to these ports, did most people get off the ship where it was pretty free to eat when you wanted to, or was it like everyone on that timed dining schedule where super busy in the morning and a super mad rush when everyone got back on board?
You definitely saw that on, especially Nassau as an example. So Nassau is still one of those ports that it's a mixture of whether people get off the ship or not, you know, even after the renovations. You know, and so you did see quite a few people that appear to have stayed on the ship, you know, and kind of treated it like a sea day since this sailing did not have a sea day. You know, so you had a little bit of congestion and so forth walking around. But, you know, with it being such a large ship, you know, a lot of the crowds in particular really do spread out, you know, around the ship. So I think really the only day we truly noticed a lot of crowds just in general was actually embarkation day. You know, which I think if you're on any sailing, really,
yeah,
you know, no matter what cruise line, which ship, embarkation day is always just a madhouse in some aspects.
Yeah, there's always that congestion right when you walk onto the ship where people don't know where to go. So your first port was Nassau?
Yeah, we did actually something different. So we often do beach days because that's, you know, pretty low key and they, you know, very, you know, friendly to our 3-year-old son. What we actually did differently was we had this pirate ship excursion where basically you get on the pirate ship and they kind of do like a little interactive show and you can walk around the pirate ship as well and kind of just cruise it around the Nassau Harbor and under the bridge and so forth for about an hour and a half, 2 hours roughly. And it was really a lot of fun. I was a little skeptical going into it because, like, yeah, you know, who knows if this is going to be fun if we're even an adult, you know. I mean, you could tell it was definitely geared toward kids, but, you know, it was fun. And you know, they offered you a couple of, you know, drink coupons too. So, you know, you could get non-alcoholic or alcoholic beverages, whatever you choose, you know, from their bar. And, you know, it was really a great sunny day too, as far as the weather. We had a great time. And, you know, fun fact was, you know, last Halloween, my son was a pirate. And so his costume still fit him. And so we had him dress up as his little pirate. So the crew and other passengers on this excursion thought it was really awesome, really cool.
Is that the pirate ship that is when you get off the ship, it's like right there at docks, kind of right where the ships dock?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Yeah, you're right there with the other cruise ships. It's there's a small little pier that I think they built when they did a lot of renovations. And yeah, it's right there with the cruise ships.
Yeah, it's called Blackbeard or something like that. I've seen it before.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Blackbeard.
If you don't mind me asking, what does that pirate ship set you back per person?
It was about $60 to $70 a person, and then my son was actually free, so okay. that was a nice thing. But again, thanks to Royal Caribbean's dynamic pricing, that could vary from ship to ship too, right? So, you know, but that's what we paid.
Okay. Very good.
In February 2024.
And then your next and final port of call was Perfect Day. Now, I take it your son is not quite old enough to stand on the top of the ship, point to the water park and say, I want to go there today.
Not yet. I'm sure one of these days that will definitely be the case. We took it as this relaxing beach day. So we actually hung out over at Oasis Lagoon. And so now they've made it just like a little lagoon. They have a lot of beach chairs and so forth. But again, like I said, it's protected. So there's very little waves and current. So very friendly to a younger crowd. And so that's where we hung out for most of the day, you know, and enjoy their buffet lunch that they had on the island, which is, you know, not too terribly far. They have several buffet locations that are, again, you know, all inclusive and very good food scattered throughout. And, you know, really had a good time.
Question we get here from time to time is that, okay, if you're going to Perfect Day with a family and you're, let's just call it, you're on a budget, right? Because, you know, sometimes that water park can be over $100 a person. Can you actually go on the island and enjoy yourself with your children and not have to spend an arm and a leg? And could they still be entertained without saying, you know, I really want to be in there?
I would say, yeah. I think it's actually, you could really have a great day, or in that case, it's a perfect day. Mm-hmm. For no cost, really, if you wanted to. I mean, you know, there's plenty of beach chairs, plenty of umbrellas, free of charge, all around the island. You know, and you know, that's both for Oasis Lagoon, that's both for the actual ocean side. You know, there's the free pool area that you can go into. There's the splash pad for kids that you can go into. They have buffet lunch, like we talked about before. you know, all that stuff. And, you know, there's the typical drinks you'd see on the ship, you know, that are free, like the lemonade and the tea and punch and water, things like that. You can get all that for free, no problem whatsoever. And, you know, really have a great day. So I think it's a great setup that, you know, if you are on a budget, no problem at all. And, you know, as well as if you have, you know, drink package, for instance, you know, it does work on CocoK, you know, or if you're a elite member and get the free drinks, those are also included on the island. Your internet package as well works on the island too, you know, no problem. So all those benefits do get extended over to the island, you know, and that's not the case for all the cruise lines. So it's really a great opportunity to have a low cost, low key, get off the ship when you want, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, I do recommend, I mean, most times that in any of the ships are, there's usually at least one other ship in port. Actually, I think they can only accommodate two at a time, but there is usually two ships in at all times. So, you know, if you want that prime time beach spot or prime time pool spot, highly recommend getting off earlier than later, but you know, you still could have a wonderful day and not have to worry about paying for the extras, but they're definitely all there and they definitely tempt you, you know, seeing the zip lines and the hot air balloon and all the slides, which again, those are all, unfortunately, you know, if you're on a budget, those do have a cost.
You mentioned the Wi-Fi, and I was actually just talking with Chris about this a couple of weeks ago when he did his Icon of the Seas review. How does it work on the island compared to the ship, in your opinion?
I thought it actually worked a little bit better on shore. I'd heard several people complaining about the Wi-Fi not working great on our sailing on the Lure. Actually, I was on the same sailing as Matt Hodgeberg over from the Royal Caribbean blog, and I heard him commenting that the Wi-Fi, in his opinion, wasn't working very well on our ship compared to others. But, you know, it's kind of one of those, it's hit or miss, I think, on the sailing and probably who's connected. And I would suspect the island itself probably has a lot better capabilities, you know, since they're a stationary island.
And it's time to get off the ship. The cruise is over. How was the debark process?
Debark was really easy again. You know, we had baggage service, you know, as far as that's concerned. So we collected our bags in the terminal and really they were ahead of schedule. So I think we were slated to be like 8 a.m., you know, debarkation time. And they, you know, our tags were already ready by 7:45 or 7:30, somewhere around there is when they made that call. And, you know, once we got left our room till the time we were in our car was less than 30 minutes at, you know, probably more like 20, you know, kept moving throughout the process. You know, they use facial recognition. And so again, just kept moving through the process. So we were really, really easy.
Any first time tips to offer anyone sailing Allure of the Seas?
It is a really nice ship for sure. Probably one of the biggest words of caution is, you know, if you are doing one of her three or even four night sailings, you know, there's a lot to do on the ship. You know, may not get it all done, you know, don't stress over that, but also do your planning. So, you know, Royal Caribbean, again, on the Oasis and I think Quantum class ships, you're able to actually book their entertainment and see their entertainment schedules, you know, about, I think they say 30 to 60 days in advance or something to that effect, you know, and, you know, highly recommend, you know, trying to book those out if you can. That way, if there is a specific time you want to do things, you really do need to do that, you know, otherwise, because, you know, for most of those shows, whether it be the ice show, whether it be the stage show or the aqua theater, you do have to have reservations. Otherwise, you have to go in the standby line. But, you know, definitely try and book those ahead of time if you can. Or if you can't, you know, try and book them as soon as you get on board the ship. You know, they're free of charge. The reservations don't cost you a thing, you know. And so as a result, the standby line does often work out for you because people will just start booking things up and they won't actually show because they're busy over at, you know, at the bar or getting a bite to eat or whoever, you know, doing whatever they enjoy to do on cruises. So highly recommend that. But besides that, I mean, you can get some great deals on it if you have the time.
What was the biggest highlight of this cruise for your family?
I'd say just seeing the joy on my son's face, especially with the pirate adventure and then just enjoying the beach day. You know, I mean, as we've, you know, grown our family, you know, you do live through your kid, you know, 100%. And, you know, seeing how much fun he had was a fantastic thing. And, you know, even riding the carousel, I mean, we were riding, my son and I were riding around, and my wife was stationary along the side. And, you know, he loved just kind of, as we rode by, you know, each time we passed by, just waving at her and, you know, just the giggles he had. I mean, it was a wonderful time to see that.
Does the carousel cost money?
It does not. It's completely free of charge. So it's not open all the time, but it's open most of the time. And they'll publish it on the app or, you know, in any of the newsletters or things like that. But yeah, there's no charge. You can ride it as many times as you want. Yeah, it's really a fun, free thing to do.
How about the zip line? Is there a fee for that?
I believe it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know that 100% sure, but I believe on the ship it is, because it's not a super long zip line.
Yeah.
I think you also have to sign a waiver to be able to do it. I've never done it. I've wanted to, but I believe on the ship it is complimentary. Or if you go to Coco Cay, I think it's like almost $100 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So. Exactly. How many cruises has your son been on at this point?
Oh, it's somewhere between 7 and 10, which is quite crazy. And the fact that he's 3.5 years old and, you know, already looked at his account, but he's probably, you know, cool and probably, well, I mean, technically he has my status. So we're Royal Caribbean. So he probably has enough to be platinum or even diamond at this point, based off of, you know, staying in a suite and the double points that they were offering back in the post COVID days initially.
That's awesome. I love hearing that.
Quite crazy.
Yeah. Well, in closing here, your final thoughts of Allure of the Seas.
I think Allure is a great ship. So like I said earlier, I think if you can find a good price on her, and you know, you will have a great time, and you know, highly recommend getting on. Unfortunately, I don't know where she's moving after she leaves Port Canaveral. I know that they're replacing her later in the season with the new Utopia of the Seas is going to kind of take over those 3 and 4 night sailings out of Port Canaveral. But wherever she goes, I'm sure you should try and get on her.
Very good. I've been talking with Kevin about his 3-night cruise over to the Bahamas and back from Central Florida. Kevin, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Of course. Enjoy it. Have a great day.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer, sir.